16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Wonderful Copenhagen is the official tourism organization, and they are working to promote and develop both business and leisure tourism. I'm very excited to have Runa Sebru with me. She is the Director of Development of this organization. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Runa. In the second episode, I would like to dive deep into the CARE principles, collaboration, agility, reliability, and empathy. And let's start with collaboration, because everything you said in the first episode and everything I saw when I was preparing these interviews, collaboration is really at the core of everything you do. But in reality, I see that collaboration is always not that easy, because very often if you collaborate with external stakeholders, you collaborate with competitors. You also have that when you collaborate, for instance, different hotels and everything in your organizations. How is reality here with collaboration?
We are completely dependent on collaboration because we are a public-private fund, meaning that we have deep, deep collaboration with the municipality, with government, and with all kind of different stakeholders from the industry, and also with the local that are actually part of the main attraction to Copenhagen.
The citizens, yes.
Yeah, so this is everyday life for us. So asking what is the difficult part? I can tell a little about how we're trying to handle it.
Yes.
As I mentioned, also in the first episode, we have a shared manifesto called Planet Copenhagen with five different principles. That we have, I think, right now 67 that have signed themselves as followers of this manifesto. What we did was that we invited our collaborators very, very early on into the process and listened carefully to them of what is important for you, what is difficult for you when it comes to green transition, and also very importantly, what do you want to use this community that the manifesto was supposed to be? What do you want to use it for? And very early on, we saw a shift from I want to have the knowledge for myself, I want to not share with anybody, to the opposite. Because if it's about green transition, you are dependent on your colleagues that they also move in the same direction. So we started to connect with some of the from the industry that were really far, Scandic Hotels, for instance, Tivoli, the airport, some of the really big stakeholders, and then we invited some of the smaller ones that wanted to be part of this community. So it's all about having this shared vision and also having the collaboration in front. I mean, so it's part of the goal actually to have the collaboration.
So everybody that is involved, they understood we're gonna do this in collaboration, we need to collaborate, and so they kind of signed in to the concept.
Yeah. They did, yeah. And also signed in that they wanted to share some of the difficult things with each other. So we are at Wonderful Copenhagen, we are facilitating these connections between the public and the private partners, are listening to them and are trying to make the ambition together. Mm-hmm.
Does it require a lot of vulnerability to collaborate?
Yeah, it does. And it's also a lot of, you have to be really stubborn. I mean, come back again and again, and there has to be a lot of connection and communication along the way. I don't know if you're familiar with this participation ladder of how you involve different kind of stakeholders.
Yes.
It is a ladder, so it's kind of that you have information, you have co-creation, and we actually used this framework as a starting point of how we want to engage our collaborators. It require a different contract depending on where on the ladder you are.
Yeah.
If it's just information would be okay. But if you're co-creating a new vision or a new strategy, you have to be extremely careful about listening and having the input and even making the prototype together.
Yeah,
with the collaborators. So yeah,
totally. And psychological safety is very important on that ladder, right?
Yeah,
you need to really feel that it's a trustworthy environment, that you dare to open up for co-creation. Now it's interesting. Let's move to agility, the mm-hmm. A of care. You said it also a little bit in the first episode. Since 2017, the tourist department has been working on strategies, but those strategies are always being adapted. How important is it to be flexible and adapting your strategies today?
I think it's completely core to the strategy. I think we all learned through COVID-19 and also this energy crisis that we have right now that everything just changes overnight. So I think we have to say goodbye to strategy that says towards 2030 we all have to agree on action plans. So we have learned it the hard way, you have to have some kind of stable framework. Back to the manifesto, you have the five different kind of pillows, that these are the goals, and then you have to have an agile framework underneath it, making the actions changeable along the way. Because this the world is, it seems just like a banal thing to say, but the world is just changing so fast, and we thought that it would a really robust business, the travel business. It wasn't, so we have learned that you have to really be change.
So it's important to have the long-term vision, but then you have to have agile plans how to get there and always being adaptive. And I think indeed the tourist industry learned the hard way that nothing is set in stone forever, right?
Yeah. Mm. We did also, through COWIDE, we did a strategy together with the City of Copenhagen and the Ministry of Business called Comeback Copenhagen. And that was the same. We had four overall objectives, ambitions. And then we had actions underneath it, 12 different activities that we changed along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So and I think one of the challenges, I think, for us is that we work in an extreme political system. So you have to have some kind of safety of not making any errors, because it's part of the Comeback Copenhagen. That was a plan that was part of the government's COVID-19 recovery plan. So you have to show some results, and making mistakes is not that good. But anyway, when you work with agility, you have to take some
risks.
And
try out things, and maybe they fail, and try out something else. So it's demanding a lot from people today, right? Because it's not so easy anymore. Like you said, we have this plan, we have the strategy, just follow it and we will get there. Mm-hmm. Today it's putting a lot of time and energy and effort and innovating and failing. That's reality today in any business, I think.
Yeah.
Let's get to the R, reliability, and I would love to talk a little bit about marketing, although it's not your specialty. But one of the things that was written in the End of Tourism Manifest is, it said, we leave behind the days of equating tourism marketing with glossy, picture-perfect advertising. Marketing no longer leads us to the brand. The relationship we have with other people do. That's a big shift in marketing that I also see happening, but still a lot of brands have difficulties to do it. How important is that shift for wonderful Copenhagen?
I think we've made it even further than what you just read loud from the older strategy. We have just developed a new brand stand called Don't Just Come Here, Become Here.
Okay.
So this means that you actually are demanding of the guests that are coming and visiting the destination that they should learn something, engage, with the destination, learn something maybe about the society, and on a big day take some learnings back home of how you live and how you work with green transition. So yeah,
can you give a concrete example how you can become a part of this town?
I think also in the first episode I talked about this,
the cycling.
The cycling. I think that is actually a very good example of saying that you have a shared passion and you come here as a bike interested person, and you get connection with the locals with the same passion. And then we had the name Ride with the Local, where people came bicycling and actually got connected to the biking environment. I mean, Copenhagen are very known globally for the biking culture, and it's really a strength position. But it's something that we can move even further, because it can become like a shared passion, but it also an example of sustainable transportation and also the atmosphere that the city has.
Yes, you really feel it when you live here. Like we've been living here now for like a week. You really feel that cycling and going through the city, but you also feel the clean air and the clean water and the fact that you can swim in parts of the canals. It really feels that you are visiting a city that is making great efforts on sustainability. Let's move to the E, the empathy part. Showing empathy for people can be done in many, many ways. Could you give us an example that you say that is really striking for what we do, how we show empathy?
I think I've been working also with empathy many years, actually, because it's one of the most strong parts of connecting to another person, is that you actually understand the person. So I think tourism is really all about connecting to people that are different from you, to learning other cultures, to traveling from one place to another. So I think it's in the core of what we're working with, is to get underneath the experience that you can just have at a glance, and then also experience like the society. I think one of the best examples that are really common right now is that during COVID we had the experience that, of course, the hotels had nothing to do, and they are really, really a big resource also for the city. So have shared spaces also in hotels that are as much for locals as for guests is one of the things that are really, really getting big this year. So it could be all about having a cafe where you can come and work, and then maybe you get in connection with the person that are next to you, start to talk to each other. It can also be we have a few places that are having dinners where you sit at long tables.
We were actually yesterday in Uppsala.
Yeah,
that's an really amazing experience.
Yeah, it's a really good example. It used to be a church.
Yes.
And then they see themselves as a shared space where they connect people, not only tourists as you are and and locals, but also locals from different places.
Yes.
They have another place also in the city.
Yes.
With the same concept. So this one, back to empathy, it's really about getting the connection, and underneath there's a person here. It's not only a tourist.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, totally. And there, from the owners of Upsalon, I heard you can also do runs together. You can do yoga classes together. There was board games you could do together. And it was indeed a very nice mix of locals and tourists. We were at the table because you can't sit at the table you want to, or you're appointed to a table. We were sitting with some a Lebanese woman, but who lives here. Her American niece was visiting. So it was really, and the Lebanese woman was married to a Danish guy. So it was really an international table, and it was so much fun. It was really, really nice, and it's a great concept. So these care principles, you really apply them, which is great. The care principles, it's all about trying to find a business model that places a balanced people, planet, prosperity, and not just go for profit, profit, profit. I think wonderful Copenhagen is proving that it's possible. Do you agree that it's really possible?
Yeah, it's what we're working on day and night. I think we are working right now on a new strategy, actually, going to be launched at the end of the year. And one of the key things about this strategy is also to go from seeing the value perspective, not only being tourism as a resource for bed nights, a resource for growth, but also a resource for the city, for maybe having people that are a long way from employment to be employed. See the tourist also as giving some life to a new area of the city. There are lots of different examples of how tourists actually bring value into the city. And I think the next step for us is to be better to communicate it, and also to kind of target, okay, what is it actually then, if it's not only a resource for employment and for wealth for the city, what is it then? So we have the examples right in front of us. As an example, I don't know, you have been to Copenhagen a few days, you would sense that it's a city that has a really, really high-end food
amazing
scene.
Food.
Yeah, that was starting with Noma and actually connecting to the entire economy called Nomanomics, meaning there's an economy that are going around this Noma brand. It has spread in every place in the city, not only being high-end food, but really high level.
Yeah.
This is something that started with the international guests.
Yeah.
So this is really a value that you have. You have a city where you do something with the food and actually are lowering the experience also as a local.
That's
so
nice.
We have to be much, much better at communicating what is this kind of value that you can have from tourists. And this movement, I think, start with turning the perspective opposite, saying what is it that you want as a local from the tourist, the value that can be put into place.
Travelers bring, the value that can travelers bring,
yeah,
to the city instead of what they take from the city. So
yeah,
I think.
And also take responsibility. Okay, if it's this one you want, then you have to connect. So it's kind of taking responsibility of this, with this value creation around the tourists is something that we can push forward as an organization, but we are not that many. So we need to have a much broader perspective on this.
Taking all the citizens on board in this beautiful example. Thank you so much, Runa. We ran out of time. I could have talked way more with her because she's really interesting, and I really believe that the city of Copenhagen and the tourism department of Copenhagen are really taking the lead, and the care principles, it's all about leadership. Thank you so much, Runa. Thank you at home for listening. Thank you for watching, and take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves, and by sharing it in your network. Thank you, and take care.